We have visitors with us this evening. We're glad you came to be with us for a few minutes this evening. And we have our business meeting after, so I won't preach over an hour and a half tonight. But for a few minutes this evening, I want us to consider the topic of fellowship. And a definition of it: a communion, fellowship, sharing in common, that which is the outcome of fellowship, a contribution. Another definition: partnership, fellow. And a third one denotes a partaker or partner. See companion, partaker, and partner. And let's begin our reading this evening in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And beginning at verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So what is fellowship? Well, we get a little more of a definition in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So from this passage also we see that fellowship is an agreement together. It's a sharing of something in common, a partnership, a participation together in spiritual matters. It's a partnership in spiritual matters. We see in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath power of death, that is, of the devil. Again, we see partakers or partnership. We see this also compared to a business relationship and used in that sense in the New Testament. Luke 5:10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. So again, that partner is part of the concept of fellowship. So fellowship means we share common principles and actions in spiritual matters. Ephesians 5, 1 through 11 talks about the life that we used to live, and that we are to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. He's given himself for us. We gave up those things in the past, neither filthiness nor foolish talking or jesting, which are convenient, but rather the giving of the thanks. We change from our life of the past, going on down to verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So again, we are to have fellowship in those things that are spiritual, those things that we have in common, and not the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, fellowship with God and with others is based on obedience to the truth, not on friendship. Some people want to fellowship everybody. And when we look at fellowship in the Bible, on one hand, fellowship is very broad. On the other hand, fellowship is very narrow. And we cannot make it broader than God has made it, and we cannot make it more narrow than God has made it. Some people think that every person that is baptized, that you can have fellowship with them. If somebody's been baptized, you can fellowship them. That's too broad. That is too broad. The Bible does not teach that. Some people think that you cannot have fellowship with somebody unless you agree 100% on everything that you discuss. That is too narrow. We are all going to be at different parts at different times in our maturity. So, are we in fellowship with each other? Are we in fellowship with God? As long as we are in fellowship with God, we are going to be in fellowship with each other if each of us is in fellowship with God. But the question is, how can I tell if I'm in fellowship with God? Well, again, we go back to the definition, this sharing in common, this partnership, this fellowship. Are we partners with God? As Paul explains it, if we are laborers together with God in partnership, in 1 Corinthians 3:9, there must be an understanding of the things which we are partners working to accomplish. Now, we can understand that real easy in the business world. If 10 people go together to be involved in a business, and they all contribute so much money, and they are going to work together, they are partners, they are fellows together, working together to accomplish a goal. If one of those partners doesn't hold up his end, what's going to happen? The others are going to bear the weight. And when you think about that in the church, we are all in the church working together. If somebody doesn't hold up their end, what is going to happen? If they start walking unruly, if they go back to walking in having fellowship with darkness, well, the Bible addresses that in 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. When that person stops having fellowship with God, we cannot have fellowship and we withdraw from that person. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So when we have this standard, we can tell if somebody is walking orderly or disorderly. We all have the same standard. Seeing then that we have fellowship with one another and walk in the light as God is in the light, it may be well to ask, how am I to act that I may know that I am doing the will of the one that called me? So again, we're talking about fellowship. So let's consider some things where we have that fellowship. We are partners, we are partakers together. In Matthew 20, we aren't going to read that, but we have the parable of the vineyard. And we read there where the man in the vineyard called his servants to go in and work. No one was invited to go in to rest. No one was invited to go in and be entertained. It's the Lord's vineyard, and we are called to go and work. We are called to go and work. We are fellow partners in that. We are fellow servants. The call comes for me to find what my hand can do in the vineyard of the Lord. some people come into the church and they don't want to work. They don't want to be a fellow servant. How can they have fellowship with God if they aren't fellow workers in the kingdom? In John 18, verse 36, we see another idea about fellowship. Jesus said his kingdom was not of this world. The principles of this kingdom are to teach us how to live in this world and to enable us to enjoy the blessings of the future of the kingdom when it's in heaven. Philippians 3:20, we know that this place is not our home. Having fellowship with God, we are called into the citizenship of his kingdom. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are fellow citizens. We have fellowship. We are fellow servants working together. We are fellow citizens headed for our home. And as a citizen of the kingdom, like we were talking about with the Sermon on the Mount this morning, we cannot align ourselves with things of the world. If we align ourselves with things of the world, then we are walking disorderly and unruly. So if we have fellowship with God, we are fellow citizens and we submit to him and we do the things that he asks for us to do in his kingdom. I mentioned 1 Corinthians 3. Let's turn there. And we'll begin reading at verse 9. Here we're going to see that with this fellowship, we are fellow builders. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. For if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. So we see that we are fellow builders in this fellowship. We are God's fellow workers, working in his field. We are a building. We are working together in this partnership, in these sharing in this these things that are common in these spiritual matters. We are fellow builders. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. We then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. So we're fellow builders, we're fellow workers. In fellowship, not only am I a fellow builder and a fellow worker, but I am a worker having fellowship with all the other workers. And again, God, just like in a business, God has not ordained that one person has more work than the others. We are all fellow workers in this fellowship. In fellowship, we are also fellow soldiers. And the very word of soldier carries with it an idea of fighting. Do we fight with each other? Hopefully not. We're fighting against Satan. Satan is our enemy, not each other. 2 Timothy 2:4. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So again, we put on the whole armor of God for self-protection. We carry the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, And we fight the enemy. We fight Satan. Now, in one other point to consider in fellowship, we are also fellow pilgrims. 1 Peter 2:11. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. So we are just passing through. We're pilgrims. So when we look at fellowship, this sharing, this partaking, this working together, this fellowship is made up of being fellow servants, like working in the vineyard. We're fellow citizens. This is what we're sharing in together, going to heaven. We're fellow builders. We're fellow workers. We're fellow soldiers fighting against Satan. We're fellow pilgrims. We're fellow watchmen, where we are watching out for others. That's Ezekiel 33:7. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and shall warn them. So fellowship. We want to be in fellowship with God. Well, how do we get into being in fellowship? Well, we have to hear the word of God. We have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, as John taught. We have to repent and forsake our sins. We have to confess our Savior. We have to be baptized for the remission of our past sins, as taught by Peter in Acts 2:38. And then we come into fellowship with God. And coming into that fellowship, we come into fellowship with other saints. But again, fellowship cannot be too broad to include everybody. It cannot be too narrow where it only includes everybody that agrees with every single thought. You're never going to find two people that agree on every single thing. So let's look at how can we make application with this. So we see the components of fellowship: fellow servants, fellow builders, fellow soldiers, fellow watchmen, fellow citizens, fellow workers, fellow pilgrims. What do we focus on? What do we focus on? Sometimes we focus on one set of standards to the neglect of the others. Whatever that may be, we base our fellowship based on this, but we don't base it on if we're working together, if we're building, if we're fighting together. And we miss so much of what that joint participation is. What do we focus on? You know, over the years, there have been a lot of things that people have disagreed on. You go back in this country a couple hundred years ago, slavery was an area of disagreement. The Civil War was an area of disagreement. People going to war, being in the military. Can I go and be in the military and fight and kill someone? Can I be a policeman and kill someone? That's an area of disagreement. Years ago, I remember when I was growing up, some people didn't believe you could play cards, didn't believe you could go to theaters. When professional sports started growing, people questioned that. You mean you're going to go to a place where you have all of this alcohol served and people are swearing, and people thought you shouldn't do that? I heard a preacher one time say that you can't work on Sunday. And he said he would not let his children work on a Sunday, and he believed it was absolutely wrong to work on Sunday. There's not agreement on that. Sometimes you look at something and you look at the consistency and just with that one thing. So if somebody says they don't believe that a person should work on Sunday, well, are you going to go to the gas station and support the gas station and the people working there and get gas? And then are you going to go out and eat? And are you going to support a half a dozen people through the day in their sin if you think that that is wrong? Some people think women should not work out of the home. You're not going to find two people that agree 100% on everything. So I just use the Lord's Supper as an example for us to look and consider a couple thoughts on fellowship. So what are the areas where most people agree? I'm talking about in the brotherhood. You go to some denominations and they would put anything up on this. But areas of agreement, I think everybody in the brotherhood agrees it's unleavened bread. We do not use a loaf of bread, it's unleavened bread. We use the fruit of the vine. We don't use orange juice or something else, we use the fruit of the vine. And we also, I think everybody agrees, it's on the first day of the week. It's on the first day of the week, there's agreement. But then there are different views. Can you use one cup or can you use multiple cups? Can you have open communion or closed communion? Some people think that unless somebody is, if somebody comes in and you aren't sure about them, you don't serve them communion. Or if you think somebody's not living right, you don't serve them communion. Some people believe that. Serving the Lord's Supper only once on the first day of the week. There's an area of disagreement over that. Some people believe that you can only serve it once, you can't serve it twice. It's just to dwell on that point for a minute, you know, at the first service on the day of Pentecost, and we all say, yes, the church began at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning on the day of Pentecost, and that is true. When did they meet next Sunday? We don't know. We don't know because that Pentecost was a holy day. It was a festival day. The Jews had been observing the Sabbath. They had been observing the Sabbath. What would they do on Sunday? They would go back and start their work week on Sunday. They may have only met in the evening. We don't know. But some people say you can only serve the Lord's Supper one time on the first day of the week. And then some say you can have multiple cups multiple times on the first day of the week. The multiple times by the authority on the first day of the week. Any time on the first day of the week, we are authorized to take that. You consider too, you could have a small congregation with just a handful of people, or you could have a large congregation with hundreds and hundreds of people that met at multiple times in a building just to accommodate to get everybody into the building. They would be taking it at different times. Well, so how do we approach fellowship? Because somebody would say, well, if somebody believes in one cup, I don't believe that, so I can't fellowship that person, that place. Can we say that? Can we say that we can't fellowship somebody that believes in one cup? If I move to another city and the Lord's church was there and they believed in having one cup, what would I do? What would I do? You have to answer for yourself. These are all answers you are going to have to decide for yourself. Even though I believe in multiple cups, I would worship with that place. I would want to be a fellow servant, a fellow builder, a fellow soldier, a fellow watchman, a fellow citizen, a fellow worker, a fellow pilgrim. Because we would still agree on the unleavened bread. We would still agree on the fruit of the vine. We would still agree on the first day of the week. Serving the Lord's Supper only once on the first day of the week. How would I deal with a group that believed in doing that? And it would depend on my view too. So if I believed that you could only take the Lord's Supper in the morning, which, and some people believe that way, and I in my own mind see that as illogical, because we don't know that that's when they met. More likely, when Paul preached till midnight, he may have not started till late in the evening when he preached. We just don't know. But if I believed that I could not take the Lord's Supper in the evening, then I would not take it in the evening. I would not take it in the evening. Now, some places, and this discussions like this come up from time to time in the brotherhood, and it's good to study all of them. Sometimes the way a congregation will resolve this is sometimes they'll just have one service for the day. They will just have one service for the day, and then there's no evening communion. Now, just because a place has one service a day doesn't mean that's the reason that they do that. But some do that because some do not believe in a second serving of the Lord's Supper. So if I moved to a different city this time, they had multiple cups. They didn't have one cup, but they had multiple cups, but they only served it in the morning. Would I fellowship? I'm asking myself, would I fellowship that place? I would want to be a fellow servant, a fellow builder, a fellow soldier, a fellow watchman, a fellow citizen, a fellow worker, a fellow pilgrim. And if they only served it in the morning, then I would go somewhere else, possibly in the evening, if I was able, if I couldn't take it in the morning. We have to make our own decisions on how we are going to handle some of these things where there is discussion over. Again, when you come in, you have people coming in from a worldly background, from a denominational background. They bring ideas in. We aren't all going to be on the same understanding at the same time. But I believe we can still fellowship each other. You have someone that's a babe in Christ that's been a Christian for a couple of years. You've got somebody that's been a Christian for 50 years. Are they going to see things exactly the same? No, no. And if we have fellowship with God, we are going to have fellowship with each other. Again, I'm not saying it includes everything, because we cannot make it broader than God makes it, but we cannot make it more narrow than God makes it. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And it takes a spirit of unity to have fellowship, to work, to partake, to get along and work in the Lord's kingdom. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Now here's the attitude, here's the mindset that we are to have as we work together. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That is the attitude that we are to have. He goes on to say, there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So here we have a pattern, a commandment on how we are to think and act as we work together. Now, there were disagreements that came up back at the beginning of the church, and probably more than we have recorded. One of those disagreements that came up was over circumcision, where people were binding circumcision on the Gentiles. If you want to be a Christian, you have to be circumcised. And they were binding that and saying, you know, you cannot be saved unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses. So this became an issue that something had to be done with. Do you have to be circumcised or do you not have to be circumcised? So there was a meeting called at the church in Jerusalem. Now in Acts 15, verse 6, now the apostles and the elders came together to consider this matter. And we use Acts chapter 15 as a pattern of authority. Chapter 7 through 10, we see where they appeal to an approved example. Verse 11 and 12, the necessary inference. In verses 13 through 18, the direct statement. So it's a pattern for establishing something. So consider this. Remember, the issue is circumcision. Must you be circumcised or do you not have to be circumcised? What is the conclusion? Was it A or was it B? What was the conclusion? They didn't say either of those. They didn't say either of those. When you get down to Acts 15 and verse 28, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these things, you will do well. These are the things that were the conclusion of this meeting on circumcision, and they don't mention circumcision. And I think there's something said there by not saying something. They didn't say A or B, they said C. They were to work this out. We see with Paul in times, he would refuse to have somebody circumcised. He was saying, you can't do that. You can't have them circumcised. On the other hand, what did he do with Timothy? He had him circumcised so that when he took him with him, he would be accepted by the Jews because he had a Gentile father. So just a couple things to draw from this. What do we focus on with fellowship? We don't want to miss heaven by focusing on one part to the exclusion of the other. It is such a privilege that by the grace and mercy of God, we can be His children and be part of His kingdom. We can be citizens. We can have this relationship with Him, that we should be focusing on carrying out these activities that we are obligated to. It's our duty as being a servant of His. What about where we disagree? Well, we should work in whatever possible way to come to an agreement. But if we try to bind every single thing that we believe, what if I change my mind later? What if I believe this way and I said, you got to do this, and a couple years from now I say, now I think we ought to do it this way? We run into a problem. So we have to have the attitude of unity, the mindset. We're in all lowliness and humility. We're working together that we might all come to a knowledge and again focus on doing God's word, that so we can be acceptable to Him. So too, the discussion of fellowship. You see different movements that have come along. Unity and diversity. Accept everybody. Accept everybody. You can't do that. That's too broad. You see some groups that are so small, there's only a handful, because they will only accept people that believe the way they do on maybe one issue. But there may be a dozen other issues that they disagree on and they don't make it an issue. Something else I've seen, and I'll just use back to the example of being a policeman or in the military and killing somebody. So this is just an example. So I will, Ron, I'll use you as an example, me and you. Say Ron holds one belief about the military and killing somebody, and I hold another belief. Doesn't matter which one believes what, we hold different beliefs. And then we talk about that and we disagree over that. And we get to the point where we aren't even talking about that. And what is happening to the cause of Christ? Satan is winning then. And with the point, and I bring up the point of the military and killing somebody, because that's not going to apply to either of us, because both of us are too old to be in the military and go and kill somebody. So sometimes people will bring up and disagree on something that doesn't affect them personally. And again, we have to go back to having the right attitude. The most important thing I want everybody to take away from this sermon is we need to be in fellowship with God. We need to be in fellowship. If you are outside of the body of Christ, you're outside of His fellowship. You're outside of all of those blessings. You aren't serving Him. You aren't working in the vineyard. You don't have the blessings, the inheritance to look forward to. And that fellowship is something with God. Again, just like we talked about in the Sermon on the Mount this morning, He has made it possible where we can be a citizen in His kingdom and have that fellowship with Him. And that is so precious, and we do not want to miss out on that. Well, how do we have that fellowship? Again, it all starts with hearing what He said and believing it and repenting of our sins and confessing that He is the Son of God and being baptized, and then we can start and enjoy that fellowship. Is there anybody here this evening that would like to do that? Please don't put it off. You have no guarantee of another day. There's no better time than right now to do what you know you need to do. If there's anybody here this evening that wants to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.